So we've got about half an hour, maybe slightly more. If there are any questions about anything from this week or how it relates to what you usually do in your practice. And also if what we could do is just start off with anything from that particular practice, anything that any moments where you felt present, interested. Yeah.
I found it tremendously helpful and transformative, actually, in surprisingly short time. I found it a bit soporific because I was able to let go much more than I would ordinarily. It's been like a mist that's letting me be much more in myself than in my thoughts, although that's happening a lot still. I wasn't judging myself about it for a change. So more helpfully transportative to me.
Great.
So it was a really, really helpful exercise.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, that soft mist that you describe, I think it can be interesting for us to see how it's completely possible to be present to something like that. I think sometimes if we have an idea of clarity, it can exclude those sorts of objects, if you like, those sorts of experiences where things aren't sort of crystal clear and sharp, if you like. But actually it's completely possible for mindfulness to know those type of more nebulous objects. And in fact that is to some degree where the practice is pointing, you know, with this sense of not knowing what's happening. Thank you.
I noticed two things that were happening when I was coming back into awareness. When the story and my thoughts, they get to a point where it just sort of like naturally fades and then just naturally come back to awareness. That was one thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens when I'm bang in the middle of a story, and that feels quite different. There's two different sort of feelings to that. And one of them is I'm so tempted to stay, finish the story off because it's sort of finished business.
It's a good story.
And then the other thing is what I'm aware, so there's a bit of a tension. And I think before today, I always thought I had to work out which way to go. I'm going to decide, oh, we need to do it this way. But I think we just let it just be a bit more, I think.
Yeah. Notice, as long as you're noticing what happens. See what happens to thoughts when there's awareness there too, or a story. Great, thank you.
I really appreciated the idea of just noticing when I came back to awareness, and I was just saying present to myself, and I think it was the contrast to what I normally do, which is tell myself off for not being present in some way, and each time it just made me smile. So it was really a very different experience to do that, and I was much more curious then about being present somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, judgment can kill all that like a stone, can't it? I shouldn't be doing that. Actually, yeah. Curiosity has the opposite effect. Yeah. Thank you. Auction.
I think it might be a language. But when you say allow awareness to be known, I thought awareness was the knowing.
Yes. So you can know the knowing. It's just pointing to that, really. You can know that which is knowing. Or that which is aware. And sort of, in a way, just feel into that. But maybe the language makes it sound a little bit more like gymnastics.
Something else.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Yes, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Rather than just experiencing.
Yeah.
I had a sense of just
I just give up trying to understand, which was sort of a relief. But it was also sort of like I noticed more sort of the discrepancy between language and experience. Yeah. I heard your words and I thought, I don't actually know what what you're talking about. I felt sort of a limitation around language. I just wanted sort of to give up to try to sort of keep hold of something.
And what was your experience? So there was that. There's that wanting to give up. And
well, a sort of sense of relief, not to have to, you know, do something or be something, or but also a bit like, a bit sort of a sense of being a bit lost. Or is it it? Is this it? You know.
So a bit of a sense of confusion about what you were doing or what you were meant to be doing.
Yeah, it's sort of like a relief to let go of the sort of trying to grasp or fix or whatever, but then feeling that sort of no man's land or not quite. So no, I can't really. It's difficult to explain.
I think if you know that you're present to that, if you can keep recognizing, I'm present, I'm aware in this what state, even though I can't articulate to myself what's happening, and that's fine. If you can keep recognizing that there's some awareness of what's happening, that's enough.
What I come back to is then just my being aware of my body and senses and sounds, and just leaning back in that sort of, that gives me a bit more sort of some grounding.
So if there's if you have a sense of that's the grounding is helpful or the anchoring is helpful, all those are good places to settle the attitude of relaxing back the body. In a way, connecting with experience. If it feels like the practice has become a bit heady or a bit disconnected from actual experience, then that's helpful. That's helpful. At some point, I'd say, when there is the connection with the body or connection with sounds, knowing that, just recognizing awareness. So recognizing, I'm aware here, I'm present to this. So that in a sense, it at some point gives you access to how you're relating to experience, that relationship. So then the if you like, the lens of awareness is, You know that it's not coloured by klesha or by other unhelpful things.
I think I've just noticed that I'm very much trying. I sort of let go, and then I'm trying to understand what's happening. I hear something, and then I got into, is there actually a listener? And this is sort of that I'm off somewhere, and it's sort of moving in and out of sort of like. Letting go into just being aware of whatever is going on, and then trying to sort of keep conceptual hold of something.
It sounds fine. It sounds fine. Just a coming and going of different sorts of experience.
When you were speaking, what came into my mind is that phrase, awareness in itself is quite ordinary. Because I just wondered whether there's a sense that the ordinariness, well, a bit like with the mistiness, it's not as distinct and clear, and there isn't an object that's as
well, as like a concept or something that's quite it's more nebulous was the word that you used, wasn't it? And whether we can be a bit, I can be a bit not disoriented, but not trust that because it doesn't feel enough of a thing.
Exactly. And it's the concept mind that makes things out of experience. It's the thought mind. So that's a process that's happening a lot. But when awareness is up and running, yeah, there can be less that feel of it almost feels like an extra step for the mind to make a thing. This is very odd language, I know, but you're both nodding, so and it can be very, very interesting actually in the mind to see that process of making things, of perception sort of coming more strongly in and labeling or imaging or making something definite and distinguishable from something else. Yeah. It reminds me of what you were saying yesterday, Bhadra, with the alia and arisings from that. Arisings and sinking back. More like an energy.
In the sit, then my experience was, or what came to me was the story of the prodigal son, and something about being self-exiled because of judgment, not enoughness, too muchness, and actually a sense of meeting myself in whatever the experience was, the coming home and the cause for celebration and love.
Fantastic.
So a relief to just be accepted as I was. The main thing was that I was home. That was my pathway to the beautiful mind. Thank you.
Sounds very beautiful. Yeah, thank you.
There's a little thing I could say that I think resonates for me with what you said, which is there have been a few points in the week which I've experienced before on the meditation retreat where something happens and I go, oh, you mean it's that I don't need to do? Just a sense of the judging is a good example, that something in me had always felt was essential, and it's like, oh, it's that I don't need to do. It's got a particular flavour. It's almost like a little reflex that appears when I know I'm aware that I've stopped doing whatever it was.
It's like the extras, isn't it? The extras that not necessary. That little question, that little Burmese pigeon English, necessary or not? No. Okay, great. Yeah. Any thoughts more broadly about the week or I wanted to say just something about, as I said at the beginning, this is a practice within the sphere. It's very much using spiritual receptivity. That's very much the method, if you like. And I think the results, such as they are, without talking too much about results, but I think they're in the realm of clear seeing, so the realm of spiritual death. It's like, oh, what's actually happening in the experience? But I think, as I think will have been apparent, and certainly it's what I've been hearing, that there is perhaps also a sense of integration and positive emotion within. So actually I think spiritual receptivity is in the middle of the mandala, and mindfulness is in the middle of our other mandala of the spiritual faculties. So I think it's not surprising that, well, mindfulness touches all the other faculties, and I think spiritual receptivity perhaps is able to harness some of the other, or most of the other faculties within our mandala of practices. So it may, not anticipating particularly, it's a practice that, oh, you think, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. We've got our mandala of practices, we've got the mindfulness of breathing, we've got the metta bhavana, we've got sadhana practices, and so we have a mandala of practice, different practices, and hopefully this gives you recourse to perhaps a way to work with the just sitting end of practices, the just that more receptive way to counterbalance the effort, the more effortful structured practices. So you might find that it just can be helpful in the ways that you do those other practices. Perhaps there's a bit more of a self-reflective aspect to noticing how the mind is that's looking to attend to the qualities of the breath. So you pick up more quickly when you're using more energy than is necessary, or actually there's a desire for some sort of result in the mind. So perhaps it just gives you tools to, in a way, come to your one-pointed object in a more rounded way, perhaps. And as Bhante said, we need to be watching our minds all the time. So practicing off the cushion, taking this sort of practice into your daily life. It's a win-win, I think. One of the little practices that I can find helpful is just sometimes the mind can feel okay. It's like there's an okay mind state. And what I might do then, this is perhaps particularly off the cushion, is okay, just go through the spiritual faculties. Just go through them and say, okay, it feels okay, but is there something missing? And just feel into the presence of faith or some aspect of right view or wisdom. What's the quality of the energy like? What's the quality of the awareness like? So that's just a little something that you can do at any time. But every time you come to the present moment, every time you sort of, in a way, reawake into awareness. And it's obviously that happens more on retreat than it does off retreat. But the more, if you like, you can develop that little muscle of noticing our present, or reminding, a reminder to be aware. Every time you do that, you're helping awareness grow. You're encouraging that little muscle to grow a bit bigger. Every time you choose to sit quietly, even just for a few minutes, before going to the book or the phone or the tablet, whatever, you're encouraging awareness. You're encouraging, in a way, there's a certain sort of renunciation. And a renunciation in relation to the world of sense pleasures and an orienting or reorienting in that moment towards Sampajanya, towards your continuity of purpose. And don't underestimate the effect of those moments. They might feel like nothing. And it might feel quite an unsatisfactory or unsatisfying experience to be aware with a mind that's maybe just a bit sort of grumbly or a bit... it doesn't feel like... You know, retreat mind can be a lot more pleasant, if you like, to be with than everyday mind. But by continuing to do that, in a way, regardless of what the object is like, just continuing to value coming to awareness, you help it grow, and in a way you help bring about more those Kalyana qualities.
I'm just wondering, as Roy moved, touched by the hermit puja, American puja last night, and I wondered, you know, what was the kind of intention? I mean, I feel the experience, but I wondered how you kind of visualised or kind of saw that in the context of what we've been doing. How that.
Yeah.
English.
I think I had more of a feeling. I think whenever it just feels completely right for these type of retreats. The simplicity of Ryokan's lifestyle, in the breadth of his life too. I mean, it feels like nothing is excluded. His certificate of enlightenment, there's his getting drunk on sake, there's playing football with the villagers, and there's this really tender appreciation of his friends who have stacks of poetry books on the floor, and the image of him doing walking meditation under the moonlight. There are just so many images that feel like they have the quality of simplicity, the simplicity of awareness. I'm not sure I can say more than that, really. But it's just a feeling of it fitting very well. I think actually a lot of I really hope that Dharmavasana does do it with contemporary poets, because I think there's a lot of contemporary poetry that's not written by an enlightened mind, but it can have I think poetry is a medium where the experience of awareness can be communicated very deeply and beautifully.
What I really appreciated about that Ryokan puja was it felt like a step further into stillness and silence, and I didn't feel the experience of taking part in it. I didn't feel an absence of the response, as in the call and response of the puja. I heard the poems as a call, and then in the silence I felt like I sat with a kind of resonant response in my body that wasn't verbalised, but it was a definite response. And I think because of the way that we've built up this depth of stillness and awareness in the week, it was very tangible in a way I've not experienced before.
Mm. 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 Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's leave it there. Let's. Mm-hmm.